This is Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman. Over the next hour, Mark will break down geek speak into street speak so you know what's hot, what's not, and why.
Hey everyone, welcome to Tech Talk. Hope you're all doing great this mid-March weekend. Wherever you're tuning into Tech Talk across Canada, whether it's on your local talk radio station or online via iHeartRadio, welcome. And I hope you enjoy this look at the latest in tech. In fact, for our first interview, it's not about tech at all. It's about comics, comic books. I'll argue there's a high correlation between gadget-loving geeks and game players, video game players, and comic book readers. Not everyone, of course, but for the first time in the 25-year history of Tech Talk, we're going to talk about comic books. We'll touch base with the owner of Silver Snail Comics in Toronto on Queen Street West about what's hot. After that, and speaking of Toronto, we're going to talk with a company called Ryse, that's R-Y-S-E, about its new Smart Shade product. It can motorize any blinds that you have, any window shades, big or small, so long as it has a beaded chain. And it could be metal or plastic. To open and close the blinds, you can then use a small button on the device. You can use an app, your voice with a nearby smart speaker, or set schedules to open and close them at certain times of the day, even if you're not at home. After our chat with Ryse, we'll then touch base with Pioneer DJ, the makers of DJ gear like controllers and speakers and such, to unleash your inner Tiesto. We'll talk about what's new in DJ equipment that won't break the bank. So, quite an eclectic show today. Hope you like the variety. All of this and more on an all-new Tech Talk powered by Chevrolet Canada, which I'll tell you more about shortly, but let's officially kick off the show with our first interview. A beacon for comic book nerds on Toronto's iconic Queen Street West, the Silver Snail Comic Book Shop is one of the oldest, biggest, and most respected in the city, nay, country. And we're privileged to have on the line co-owner Brian Hamelin. Great to have you on the show, Brian.
Thanks so much for having me.
So before we hear about what's hot in comics, Brian, tell us a bit about Silver Snail.
Yeah, so we're actually coming up. It'll be 2 years we'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the store. We've kind of existed for as long as comic shops as an idea existed. The original owner, Ron Van Leeuwen, who me and my business partner, Mark Shingra, we purchased the company from him because he's long since retired. But he actually started the store in the back of Baca Books, which is still a sci-fi and fantasy bookstore that still exists in the city on Harvard Street now. So originally it was just a stand that would sell books out of the back of there, like comic books, because kind of the idea of a comic shop, there wasn't all the memorabilia and collectibles to kind of go around with it. It was just, you know, you'd grab them off the newsstand. So the reason we were called the Silver Snail is he had no idea if it was a viable option for a comic book store to actually sustain itself. So he figured he'd give it maybe a year or two. And then if it didn't work, he'd just switch us to a pet store. So that's the name was supposed to be Dual, kind of, you know, because at that point, you know, now we're in crazy nerd culture where, you know, there's so much genre shows and movies and everyone's kind of into it. But at that point, that would have been 1976. It was still pretty niche.
Awesome. Love that story. Very efficient way to choose a name. And what got you into comics, Brian? And at what age?
I was probably going to say like 5 or 6. Really what got me into it was I grew up north of the city where like we didn't have cable or anything. So I'd only get to watch cable if I went to my grandma's. And it was going there and just catching episodes of the X-Men animated series and the Batman animated series that kind of like blew my mind. And I think it was a bit of the scarcity of like not getting to see that regularly that that made the obsessive part of my brain kind of want to keep looking more into all the characters. And then once I finally moved to the city, or my brother moved to the city before me, and I would come down kind of 15, 16 years old and started shopping at the Snail, that I realized like, oh, you can buy like collections of full storylines and go back. And then that started an insane going through all back issues and backstories and getting really into it until I guess I finally purchased the store or bought into the store. So that was kind of the ultimate collector thing to get.
Yeah, I was going to say the only thing better than a huge collection, and I'm curious how many you own personally, by the way. Yeah, the only thing better is actually buying the store outright.
Yeah, well, actually, now I own zero. I think I have zero comics of my own. I have on my bookshelf, a collection of Akira 1-6, and that's it. Everything else is in the store. So
awesome. All right. So what are some of the best-selling comics in the store right now, Brian? Is it Marvel, DC?
I mean, we've always, even through the heights of Marvel, with the popularity of like the movies and stuff when they're really at their peak, we've always still been in a Batman world. Like, Batman kind of has always sold no matter what, through even different relaunches of DC when some of their other books always fall out. It's like Batman is always right near the top of our list. But basically the hottest selling book right now is the Ultimate Spider-Man by Jonathan Hickman that they just relaunched. I guess it was last month, was the new first issue, which kind of tells the story of an older Peter Parker who has like children and is with Mary Jane, but him becoming Spider-Man later in life. So it's kind of allowing the character to mature a little bit more. And generally the idea with the Ultimate Universe stuff is that changes actually stick. That's kind of the philosophy around it, where there's less kind of retconning and going back to zero and more ongoing story where things have more consequences. So that's kind of really taken over. Like, it's by far our most popular book right now. And one that on release day had, we sold out, we're getting calls, have like second printing, third printing, people coming in, you know, to buy multiple covers. It's been a little bit since a book's really, really hit like that, but that's definitely the biggest one right now.
So I get it. Batman, Spider-Man, those are some of the best sellers. But what about ones that our listeners may not know about that are hot in the comic book world?
Yeah, for sure. Since kind of the big comic movie push, like of like the mainstream ones, what's also been going on with that is a lot of creator-owned books getting like a lot bigger. A lot of the stuff that's done at like Image Comics, where it's the writers and artists actually maintain the rights of their stories. So a lot of those things have also turned into, you know, huge multi-million dollar franchises like The Walking Dead or something. But there's still continuing a lot of Image titles that are coming out that are quite exciting. Like Kaya is one, K-A-Y-A. That one has a lot of excitement behind it. A big one that's a bit of a favorite in the store is Minor Threats, which is written by Patton Oswalt for Dark Horse Comics. And it's drawn by Scott Hepburn, who's a Toronto comic artist, which that one has a whole kind of spin-off universe where they're doing a bunch of tie-in books and kind of creating their own shared universe in the way that Marvel kind of originally did. So that's an exciting book for us too. That's, again, like a creator-owned kind of smaller indie book.
It doesn't get much bigger than Silver Snail. Chatting with the comic book store co-owner Brian Hamlin, learning about what's hot in comics. Of course, DC and Marvel. You mentioned Walking Dead, Robert Kirkman. Art was done by Tony Moore. And you're a big fan of Japanese anime across the board. You mentioned Akira. Is that a big seller also at Silver Snail?
Yeah. Probably growing the section of the store that keeps growing more and more is the manga section, like growing way more than any of our other sections. And we got a lot more requests. I think a lot of more like new readers and younger readers are a lot more excited about a lot of the Japanese stuff. I think partially it's because people are used to streaming shows and watching stuff on Netflix or watching streaming, where you kind of get everything all in one. And the way that we get, like, we don't bring in Shonen Jump or any of the books that do it kind of weekly. It's, we get the translations once it's, you know, a full volume or like a few full volumes. So I think partially that's a more accessible way to get into something new rather than picking up issue 500 and something of an ongoing DC title. But also just, I think there's something to be said for a lot of those books are written by the artists. So it's one person kind of with a singular vision. There's something to the pacing and storytelling of that that is oftentimes more captivating, at least for me. It feels like it flows a lot better.
So when it comes to upcoming books, Brian, what comics are you excited about, say maybe this spring or summer?
Yeah. So speaking of the Marvel kind of ultimate relaunch, Marvel's kind of, they do this every few years to kind of re-get interest, but they're relaunching X-Men. It kind of starts in May with around Free Comic Book Day, and the beginning story is going to be released in the Free Comic Book Day, one of their specials. And then they're kind of doing a line-wide relaunch of X-Men that will go through the summer. So that's definitely something that everyone's pretty excited about. I'm personally pretty excited about it because X-Men was really my gateway into this whole world. And then another big one is that Jonathan Hickman, the writer who is currently doing the Ultimate Spider-Man book, that's really exciting for us and has been generating like a lot of sales and a lot of interest, is relaunching a Doctor Doom book, which Doom hasn't had kind of his own title book for quite a few years. He's just one of those villains. The kind of era of Jack Kirby, Doctor Doom, that era of Marvel stuff, I kind of seared in my brain a little bit that Doom is just always one of those characters that he's just unbelievably cool. Like, he kind of sums up the cool aspect of Marvel Comics. So like a writer like Hickman really taking him on is definitely exciting.
Before we wrap up, out of curiosity, I guess the most expensive comic book is still Superman number one. What about Silver Snail? What's the most expensive comic book you've ever sold?
During 2020 and 2021, comics, like old comics, really went pretty wild. There's a lot of new collectors getting into them. So there's some books that went for the last 10 years were kind of hovering around $200 to $300 book that over the last few years have gone up into the thousands. Like, so just recently within the last couple of years, we sold a giant size X-Men number one, which is the first appearance of like a lot of the really famous X-Men, like Nightcrawler, Colossus, Storm. And that sold for over $6,000 and it was in kind of mid-range condition. But that's a book that traditionally was going for $600 was its top 10 years ago.
And I'm sure it's just going to keep going up and up, including the rare ones and imports and other collector's editions and all that. So where can we learn more about Silver Snail, Brian?
So yeah, our website, silversnail.com, is definitely a good place. Any of our social media is all under Silver Snail TO. So we do a lot of our promotions on Instagram, and our Twitter is the same handle. We're always doing sales and bringing in creators, and Free Comic Book Day would be happening in May. So that's always a big one.
Awesome, Brian. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for having me on.
When we return on Tech Talk, we're going to chat with Rise about how to motorize your existing window blinds or shades. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Tech Talk.
Breaking down geek speak into street speak. You're listening to Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman, Canada's go-to tech authority for the past 25 years. Here's Tech Talk.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, powered by Chevrolet Canada. The all-new 2023 Chevrolet Colorado has leveled up its tech. Outside, its Multimatic DSSV shocks and available factory lifted suspension make sure you're staying level on and off the road, while available first-in-class Stoflex tailgate storage gives you the flexibility you need. Inside, its 10 available camera views, 11.3 diagonal infotainment display, and fully digital driver information center make this the truck of the future. The all-new 2023 Chevrolet Colorado was made for more. Start your adventure today at chevrolet.ca. So before the break, we chatted with the co-owner of Silver Snail Comics in Toronto. Let me know what you think. Do you want more of these non-techie segments on a show called Tech Talk? Is it maybe a little refreshing that it's not more gadgets or games or apps or what have you? Let me know what you think on social media, or you can send me an email. I'll spell my name in a moment, but if you are on social media, I'm on X, formerly Twitter, or Instagram, Threads, Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, and even TikTok. It's Mark Saltzman, MarkSaltzman. Let me know what you think of the show, and if you do like these non-techie interviews, like exploring what's new in comics. If you prefer email, maybe you're not much of a social media person, you can just go to my website and send me a note. So my website is simply marksaltzman.com, MarkSaltzman.com. All right, let's continue on with the show. Can you guess what the best performing category in tech is these days? It's not home entertainment like TVs. It's not smartphones, with sales kind of flat these days. And it's not laptops either. It's smart home tech, with double-digit year-over-year growth. After all, it's easy and inexpensive to control your home better, you know, using your app or your voice with a smart speaker, or to automate tasks altogether. And there are a lot of innovative companies doing great things. One is called Rise, spelled R-Y-S-E. It's a Toronto-based company with a product called the Rise Smart Shade. It's an affordable and easy way to motorize your window shades to help save time and energy. We're joined by Trung Pham. He's founder and CEO of Rise. Thanks for your time, Trung, and it was good to meet you in person at your head office a few weeks back.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Now, hey, before we talk smart shade, tell us about the popularity of smart homes. And when we do talk smart homes, what are we referring to exactly?
So smart homes, it's really the idea that you can control every little thing in your home with your smartphone, voice, or even automate them based on how you live, adding greater convenience and privacy. For example, you can come home from a long day at work and your smart home can recognize this. It can automatically set the room temperature, dim the lights, and close the shades during this evening to really set the mood to be more relaxing and cozy. Another great example is if you're away on holiday, you can have your lights and shades operate at set times or remotely to give the impression that you're home and add another layer of privacy.
All right. So smart home solutions, depending on what it is, whether it's smart lights or smart blinds, Wi-Fi thermostat or a video doorbell, these things can add peace of mind, convenience, like you mentioned, and cost savings, depending on the product. And I'd argue smart blinds can do all three.
Yeah, so definitely. I think the convenience factor is by far the biggest factor, where you could schedule your blinds or use your voice to control it. It's great for seniors if they don't have the strength to pull the chains to open and close their shades. And peace of mind is really the idea of privacy. Again, being able to close and open your shades at set times. I know I actually had customers reach out and say they were looking for this product because one time when they were on vacation, they were actually burglarized because their shades were open. So they were looking for a solution just like ours. Mm-hmm. And cost savings is something a lot of consumers don't realize with smart blinds. But if you can control your shades and close them when it's hot and sunny, you effectively block out that heat from the sun, and you reduce the amount of indoor cooling that's required in the room. So all three factors play a big role, and smart blinds can really target and provide these benefits to homeowners.
All right. So speaking of smart blinds, what Rise provides, called Smart Shade, aren't blinds themselves. It's an aftermarket solution for those who already have blinds.
Yeah. So Rise was founded initially to solve this very problem, like you mentioned. Before Rise was born, consumers weren't able to motorize the blinds or shades they already owned. They actually had to replace them with brand new motorized shades. Instead, all our products are designed to convert your blinds and shades into automated smart ones. Very simple to install, very easy, and very affordable.
All right. So because this is radio or podcast, maybe you can explain what Smart Shade looks like. And that's one word, by the way, capital S on both smart and shade. It's something that you connect to your windowsill on the inside, and you need blinds with a beaded chain. Is that right?
Yeah, so we work with any window shade that has a beaded chain, whether it's metal or plastic, and it's a rectangular-shaped device. It installs easily on your window frame, and it loops the chain of cords through the device, and that's how you motorize it. Now, the great thing about the device is it's super easy to install. You could do it yourself without any tools, and it leaves no wall damage. So you could install our Smart Shade device with 3M double-sided tape. It could be installed in a matter of minutes.
Awesome. I did say window sill earlier, but I did mean the window frame. It could be to the left or to the right where the beaded chain is. And you said you don't need to hire someone professionally to install it. You can do it in a matter of minutes. And then do you join it to your Wi-Fi in order to use the app? Is that how it works? And I understand there's also an optional bridge, a smart bridge.
Yeah. So with the standalone Smart Shade device, you can control it with the buttons on the device. So if you're up close by the window, you could just press the buttons on the device to control it.
Right.
Or you could use the mobile app to control individual Smart Shades at once. The bridge is optional, but the majority of our customers, over 90%, do buy the bridge. And the bridge will allow you to create groups. So if you want to control three or four shades at once, it also allows you to create schedules or routines. So as I mentioned, you could have your shades open in the mornings at 7 a.m. to give you natural sunlight, and close at 6 p.m. to give you some added privacy, and it's required to integrate with Google Home, Amazon Alexa, or Apple HomeKit. So it is a fundamental part of the product.
Just to be clear, if you don't purchase the Smart Bridge, which is optional, then you can still open and close your blinds on demand by pushing the button on the device itself or by using the app. And then if you do have this Smart Bridge, you can set schedules and timers. So even if you're not at home, or just to automatically open up or close certain times of the day, use your voice with a smart speaker. And also, the Smart Bridge is for when you have more than one smart shade in your home, as you can create groups.
Correct. That's exactly right.
We are chatting with Trung Pham. He's founder and CEO of a company called Rise. That's R-Y-S-E. Their first product is called Smart Shade. It's an affordable and easy way to motorize your existing window shades. All you need is a beaded chain, and it's easy to install on your own. The optional Smart Shade gives you even more automation and control should you want it. For the Smart Bridge, Trung, is this a little box that you connect to your router? Is that fair?
Yes. So the smart bridge, you could either connect it to your router via Ethernet, or you could just connect it into a plug-in. It does have built-in Wi-Fi.
Oh, I see.
So you could place it around anywhere in the home where you have a power outlet.
And I know this is your first of many products, Trung. Talk to us about what's coming next from Ryze.
So we're launching a new product this summer called the Ryze Smart Curtain. And this is a extremely easy to install device. It can be installed in under a minute. And it basically hangs on a curtain rod or curtain track. So the idea is that it's another rectangular-based device. It hides behind the curtain, and it moves left or right in order to open and close the curtain. And we're also in early stages of research and development of a new product for blinds that tilt. So imagine the traditional tilt-operated blinds via a wand or rod. We're able to tilt that, and that's going to be launched in early 2025.
Very cool. Just to confirm, it doesn't matter how big or heavy the shades or blinds are. It works with all shapes and sizes. And talk to us about pricing.
Exactly. So the Ryze Smart Shade starts at $149 US or $199 Canadian. And you can buy it directly from our website, helloryze.com, or even at Best Buy retail stores.
All right, helloryze.com. And again, Ryze is R-Y-S-E. And the Smart Bridge, how much does that cost?
The Smart Bridge is $49 US or $69 Canadian.
All right, Trung, great chatting with you once again. Helloryze.com to learn more. HelloryseE.com. Thanks so much for carving out some time to chat, Trung. Be well.
Thank you.
So Tuesday is the official start of spring, the 19th of March. And so I've got a bunch of TV interviews lined up next week and the week after, in fact, to talk about spring-related gadgets, things like, you know, wireless meat thermometers to tell you when it's time to flip your steak on the grill. Also, there's a handheld gaming PC that looks like sort of a Nintendo Switch, but it lets you play games on the go. So that kind of thing. And Ryze is also going to be one of the things that I'm going to show on TV, mostly CTV and in Toronto, CP24. For breakfast and all that. So because, hey, you know, spring with the blinds, you may want to raise them and lower them a little bit more different times of the day. So I am going to be showing Ryze on TV. So I'm excited to get a demo unit to show. So pretty cool stuff. When we return on Tech Talk, as promised on the back half of the show, we're going to catch up with Pioneer DJ to hear what gear that they've got for budding DJs, even if it's just hanging out with your friends. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tech Talk, where you won't need a Geek to English dictionary to tune in. Welcoming back our host, Mark Saltzman.
If you've ever dreamt of being a DJ, either for fun or maybe you'd consider it for your side hustle, as two of my friends have, Pioneer DJ has a ton of gear to unleash your inner Tiesto. Joining us on the line to chat about what's new is Jay Brannon. He's product demonstrator and trainer at Alpha Theta. This is the parent company to Pioneer DJ. Jay is also a DJ, by the way, as well. Welcome, Jay. Good to chat with you.
Good to chat with you too, Mark. Thank you so much for having me this morning. I appreciate that.
Yeah, awesome. Now, before we talk about what's new, please tell us a bit about Pioneer DJ as a brand.
Okay. Pioneer DJ as a brand is really the leading manufacturer of DJ equipment. It's a company that goes back to the 30s and moving forward from electronics went into the DJ realm back in the 90s. And it's at that point that they really established their reputation, not only with beginner DJs, but with really top-end performing DJs. We just went to a show in Anaheim called the NAMM show, which is an annual music show.
Right.
And it was at that show that we actually, our parent company launched a new brand under the name of Alpha Theta. So it's a co-brand with Pioneer DJ for gear that we're now putting out. And we launched two new pieces at the NAMM show, the Omnis Duo and the Wave 8. So it's just another example of how we are moving forward with the times and addressing all of the concerns, questions, and wants of our customers and trying to stay maybe a step ahead of them and forecast where the industry might go because of our experience and how long we've been doing this.
Awesome. And speaking of keeping up with the times, I understand these two new models are wireless, so we're going to get to that. And you also said that Pioneer DJ is a leading company in this space, but what would you say separates Pioneer DJ from the other DJ equipment manufacturers?
I think it really comes down to the fact that the engineers, the planners, the staffing of the company are so driven and dedicated. And someone like myself, who's been a DJ since the mid-90s, it's the focus. This isn't about making something that's not going to enhance the experience. So I think the times that we look at where the industry is and what they need, it's based on talking with the industry. So we're good friends with a lot of the top end DJs, but we're also talking to people that might just be playing in their bedroom or in their college dorm. So we're always aware of what's needed by having that communication. And I think it really makes us stand out. Our reputation really precedes us. And especially when you look at large festivals and things like that, 200 DJs are playing 200 sets on our equipment. And it's that reliability factor that's really presented the reputation and gotten us where we are today, I feel.
Yeah, awesome. And I love that you don't have to break the bank with some of this equipment. For example, I'd love to start with the DDJ FLX4. This is a controller that you can connect to a computer or a tablet or a phone. Can you talk to us a bit about it?
Yeah, the FLX4 is a great piece. It's not only at a price point that allows everyone entry, but it's a piece of equipment that if I were to use it at one of my events or give it to someone on a stage with 40,000 people, they could still do their job. So you're getting into the entry level piece, but it's at the same level as a top end piece in that it's laid out with a familiar setup that all of our equipment is done with. This one stands out a little bit more. It's a newer piece because it works with so many different things. It works with our own software, which is Rekordbox DJ. It works with another software called Serato DJ Lite. It works with DJ Pro and DJ. And as you said, you can DJ right off your phone, right off of a tablet, right off of a laptop or computer. So the portability is a huge part of it. You could sit on a plane, pull the table down, put this on it, take out your phone or tablet, and actually practice or do a small set with your headphones on. And I think that that's really something that's a key feature. It's bus powered. So you're not even looking around for a power source for it. It's going to be powered USB. And, you know, we want people to feel comfortable when they start. You don't need to, as you say, break the bank when starting in this career. You can start off with a piece like this. And then as you move up the ladder of equipment, the familiarity of the layout won't change. So the learning curve really goes away. And as I said, a top end DJ handed this could certainly do their job. They're using different equipment because of what they're going through and how that equipment is being treated. But someone at home who's just casual and has thought, I love music, I want to get into being a DJ, this is really a great starting point because the music is so accessible in our new world of streaming and, you know, that access point.
For sure. And speaking of the layout, Jay, since this is radio or podcast, maybe you can just explain that it doesn't have real turntables, though it kind of looks like it. Can you explain what the controller looks like? Again, the FLX4.
Sure, I'd be happy to. When you look at the DJ industry as a whole and you say to someone, I'm a DJ, they tend to put their hand out in the air and move it back and forth.
Like you're scratching.
Exactly. And that's become the synonymous, you know, no words needed.
With one hand on the cans on one side of your headphones.
100%. You know, you've been there. The FLX4 is laid out as a lot or most of our controllers and equipment. And what I mean by that is starting on the left side of it, you have a circular platter. And this allows you to emulate the scratch sound if you choose, or to pitch change a song. Then below it, you have a layout of pads, but you have a cue button, which is a button that you press after playing, hitting play, and it marks a part in that song. And under that, you have a play button. And the point of this is, those are the same on our top-end CDJ 3000. So that's what I meant earlier about the layout.
Yeah.
But when you look at this item, what you have is a mixer in the middle. That's where you're going to control the volume. You're going to be able to fade songs into each other. You can change the tonality of the song. And then at the top, it has a small knob that you can actually go with a computer, laptop, tablet, phone, and use that to search through your music. So the equipment as a whole is based on the old school, you know, two turntables and a mixer in the middle. And we've kept that going forward as the industry has, because it's familiar and because it's a layout that we understand. You gravitate towards things that look like you know what to do with them. And I think this is no different. I've let people, including my wife and kids, jump on the gear sometimes. And it doesn't take long to figure out, oh, if I do this, this happens.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the layout of our controllers. You're going to have two control surfaces split in the middle with a mixing board.
I know a lot of entry-level controllers let you match BPMs, beats per minute, and you can, you know, obviously fade between tracks and add that scratching sound and all that, but not all can do pitch control, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have it set in what's called CDJ mode, and you put your hand on the platter and moved it, it would change the pitch of the song. So if you were trying to mix two songs and they weren't quite lining up, you could grab the platter either on the outside or on the top in CDJ mode and actually speed up or slow down the song, which is the same thing that you could do with our $2,800 player. So hence why the familiarity is really there.
How much does the Flex 4 cost?
The Flex 4 is $299.
In Canada, it's $429, and it's available at places like Long and McQuaid. We're chatting with Jay Brannon. He is product demonstrator and trainer at Alpha Theta. This is the parent company to Pioneer DJ, the brand that you likely know as a leading company that creates DJ equipment for both novices and professionals. We're learning about what's new from the company. We're going to get to the new two wireless DJ options that made their debut at the NAMM show recently. We'll get to that. Just before we move on, though, Jay, can you just tell us a bit more about the compatibility with Rekordbox DJ, Serato Lite DJ? This is all DJ software.
It is. We as a company, we actually produce Rekordbox. So Rekordbox is a software that you could use with OS, Windows, iOS, Android. It's really pretty well versed, and it puts you into a world of, from a controller standpoint, the ability to use music on two decks. You can also use it as an export device to a flash drive on other things. But today's world with streaming and the access to music, since that's kind of moved away from the days of buying music the same way we did back in the past, this is really what's going on in the DJ industry. You don't see a lot of CDs anymore.
Sure.
You do see some vinyl, but the controller is really been embraced by all of us because it's made our lives easier. So using a product like Rekordbox DJ or Serato DJ Lite or even DJ Pro or DJ, it's pretty well accepted. And I think where the Flex 4 differentiates itself is by adding in the DJ Pro as well as DJ. This now allows the phone or a tablet to be used. And that's not always the case.
More with Pioneer DJ when we return. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Tech Talk, powered by Chevrolet Canada. The all-new 2023 Chevrolet Colorado has leveled up its tech. Outside, its Multimatic DSSV shocks and available factory lifted suspension make sure you're staying level on and off the road. While available first-in-class Stoflex tailgate storage gives you the flexibility you need. Inside, it's 10 available camera views, 11.3 diagonal infotainment display, and fully digital driver information center make this the truck of the future. The all-new 2023 Chevrolet Colorado was made for more. Start your adventure today at chevrolet.ca. We're going to continue chatting with Jay Brannon, product demonstrator and trainer at Alpha Theta. This is the parent company to Pioneer DJ, one of the biggest names in DJ gear for the home, or yeah, even professionals use it out of the home for a real gig. But even if you're just hanging out with some friends and you want one to take the controls and have a lot of fun mixing and matching beats per minute and changing the pitch and playing DJ for the night or a house party, this is great stuff. We learned about the Flex 4 controller or DDJ FLX4. We're going to talk in a moment about some new wireless products. Now, Jay, before the break, you were talking about some of the limitations of other controllers that you can connect to your computer, but yours, I think, supports other devices as well.
A lot of controllers won't have access to your phone or a tablet. So we really planned this one out to be accessible to anybody. Somebody's got a lot of music on their phone and they want to try to DJ. This would be a great way to start by interacting with the software. And it's very intuitive, very simple and easy as far as the layout goes. So it mimics the controller. On the screen, you see two control surfaces with a mixer in the middle. So people adapt to it pretty quickly.
Yeah, so you're matching the physical with the digital and it looks right. The same. And just to confirm, you can export your mixes to a file like an MP3?
You could record with this device in the software.
Great. All right, let's now finish off on what's new from Pioneer DJ. You mentioned two new products, including a controller and speakers, if I'm not mistaken, like a combo. You called it the Alpha Theta Omnis Duo, and then there's also the Alpha Theta Wave 8. Please tell us about both of these. Yeah.
We're really excited about these. As I said, these just launched back in January at the NAMM show in Anaheim, California. The Omnis Duo is a two-channel battery-operated controller. And where this really is kind of changing the way DJs, especially mobile DJs, wedding, you know, after everything that happened a few years ago and is still kind of happening, we're outside a lot more than we ever were before. We're now being forced with backyard weddings, with golf course events, and power can be, well, it can be an issue. The fact that we now have given you a battery-powered controller that you can play from a USB drive, an SD card, or a computer. You can plug a computer in and run Rekordbox DJ with it right out of the box. But the really big thing about it is you can record Bluetooth. So if you had a segment of your show on your phone and I was DJing an event for you and you wanted me to have that, I can set it up. You can get onto my network with the Omnis Duo. I can then capture that recording, keep it on the device. I can use effects. We could scratch over your voice. I can see it really being a big thing down the road with people having, let's say, recordings that they, you know, from a loved one who couldn't make an event. We can now capture it and play it back through our system. So it's something really new as far as the recording of Bluetooth. Playing with Bluetooth has been around, but it's the recording aspect that's really different. And as far as I can tell, it's the only one that's doing this. And it joins another piece that we launched with Alpha Theta called the Wave 8. The Wave 8 is an 8-inch battery-powered speaker, has a handle, has a couple of casters on the bottom, seems like an unassuming speaker. You can certainly plug things into it. But the real game changer with the Wave 8 is the fact that it has a transmitter receiver built in. And the transmitter receiver we're calling Sonic Link. You take the transmitter out of it, you plug two RCA cables into it from an Omnis Duo or a Flex 4 or any other mixer controller piece, and you now wirelessly are transmitting, not Bluetooth, but wirelessly transmitting with Sonic Link to that speaker. You can then do this up to 8 times. It's got very low latency, 8 milliseconds to be exact. And instead of going from the source, each speaker becomes the source for the next speaker. So you're not multiplying that 8 milliseconds. You're keeping it a constant. So we actually set 4 of these up at NAMM. We just had them in a show in Vegas 2 weeks ago. Latency was not an issue. We had DJs testing it with scratching and everything else. They really sound amazing. And again, there's been so many times we've had to go to an event and the client wants a speaker here, but that means taping down cables, someone might trip. And instead, boom, now I can put this anywhere I want. And it's professional and it's transmitting and not worried about Bluetooth and distance. I've used one up to about 70 feet away from my house.
Wow.
And had it across the street, probably much to the dismay of my neighbors, but it was playing and sounded great. And I did it on a day where it was raining because it's actually IP4Z rated. So hopefully I'll get my videos up that show a puddle of water on top of it sitting in my driveway in a rainstorm. You know, and again, you're not probably going to DJ in the rain, but you might have a speaker outside and some rain comes down and that can be a problem, but not with the Wave 8. So we're really excited about these two items. I think as people see them and the season of events moves forward, you know, we're in March right now, as we get into the summer months, these are really going to be game changers for a lot of DJs who need to move sound around an event and are beholden to power outlets, a lot of tape to put down cables that could be a tripping hazard. Now that's gone. You can forget the cords and cables with the Wave 8 and the Omnis Duo, and you're good to go. The Wave 8 is $899 USD, and the Omnis Duo is $1499 USD.
In Canada, the Omnis Duo is $2,149, and the Wave 8 portable speaker with Sonic Link is $1,249. And where can we learn more for all of these, Jay, as well as please plug your socials? I'd love to see that video of you DJing wirelessly with precipitation.
Absolutely. Thanks, Mark. You know, the first source of information would probably come from either alphatheta.com or pioneerdj.com. But in today's times, as you better than anybody would realize, we've really started to push towards social. And the beauty of that is all of our socials are at Pioneer DJ USA or at Pioneer Pro Audio USA. And there you can see any of the new Wave 8 and Omnis Duo videos. We run contests. We have tutorials. Of course, you can go find us at Pioneer DJ USA on YouTube as well. We really do our best to keep up with what people are asking us and a lot of things you need to show. This as a non-showing environment, you know, the words count more, but there are certainly things that if you had a question, I could send you a 20-second video and you'd be like, oh, perfect, now I get it. So we really do try to push our socials as well as our YouTube account towards helping. You know, we're DJs. We're one through music with our customers, our fans, and everyone else. And we really want to make sure that we're supporting them every way we can. And I think a lot of that is as tech changes, we change with it, and we do our best to keep updating those channels.
Really great to chat with you, Jay. Really informative. Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. All the best.
You too, Mark. Absolutely.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Even though I'm a rocker, I do like dance music as well. All right, Pioneer DJ, that was fun. So a little bit of a different spin, pun intended, on Tech Talk Pioneer DJ. We talked about comic books off the top of the show with the co-owner of Silver Snail, about to celebrate its 50th anniversary in Toronto in 2 years. And then in the middle of the show, we had Rise on. These are the, speaking of Toronto, these are the folks who have this affordable way to turn regular blinds or shades into motorized ones. You don't need new blinds or shades. It works with your existing ones. So great stuff there. Before we wrap up another episode of Tech Talk, while we often talk about new technology on this program, it's important to properly recycle your old tech, your end-of-life electronics. In fact, it's super easy to recycle your devices. Simply visit recyclemyelectronics.ca, type in your postal code or your address, and you'll find one of the many drop-off locations near you. After all, when it comes to your tech, what's inside counts. By responsibly recycling your end-of-life electronics with recyclemyelectronics.ca, you're keeping them out of landfills and the waste stream, and you're helping to recover and recycle valuable resources, which could then be put back into manufacturing. When it comes to our devices, the future is literally in your hands. That website again is recyclemyelectronics.ca. Have a great rest of your weekend, everyone, and I look forward to catching up with you next time for another episode of Tech Talk. Bye-bye for now.
Don't forget to tune in to Tech Talk next weekend for more tech news you can use, interviews, reviews, and how-tos. Tech Talk with Mark Saltzman.